I wish somebody would make some noise. It's not like this at my church in Mexico. It's a very noisy place. Because the trash man comes by during church and rings his bell. The tamale man comes by and does his hot. Okay, now we're not going to start getting envious. Wow, we wish we had a church like that. What are you talking about? This is a church that communes pre-service at Bojangles, I'm sure. How many of you had Bojangles this morning? No one? I don't blame you. It's not my favorite place. Well, my name is Mark Lockhart. Thank you, Brother Davidson, not only for allowing us to be here this morning, but also I would like to just mention to the church that God has given you a special pastor. This is the first time we've met. But the reason I say that is because it's a pastor who's concerned about missionaries. We have many churches that support us and have for many years. But honestly, probably five that communicate with us. And Brother Davidson, I want to thank you. It does. It means a lot to us. And so we appreciate the fact that you have a pastor that wants to keep missions in front of you, but also communicates with the missionaries. So I definitely would like to have an opportunity to give you some updates about what's going on in our ministry, but also I know that few of you have met us previously. If you know who I am, knew who I am before you came to church this morning, would you raise your hand? One. Oh, thanks, Jeremy. He barely remembers me. He probably is only remembering the evil uncle. I'm not sure, but I want to tell you a little bit about how I got to Mexico. The Lord saved me when I was 8 years old, which, by the way, that's a big deal about trying to get your kids to church so that they can get saved. And that's the reason we want to bring little people to the Lord. We want to bring them to church and they get saved. My understanding that the average age of salvation for the missionary is 8 years old. So that is to just point out, I'm just average. I'm not average height, but except I live in Mexico, so I'm good. Now I'm in the land of the giants. It's exciting to sometimes get to see my family and my nieces who say, "Hello, Uncle Mark," because my nieces tower over me. I am a unique individual is that in this regard that I am a Michigander who don't talk like it. That's because God is gracious and allowed me an opportunity to be born again just over yonder in Georgia, the land of the dogs. Not that we care about that, but I praise the Lord that I had a sister that was concerned about the Lord and what God wanted to do in her life. And as a result of her change in character, my family came to the Lord one by one. And I told my mom last night, who we were able to have a birthday party with her a little bit early, as she'll be turning 87 on May 16th. And I said, "This is my grandma." Now, my mom, she's much like us. We forget things. But my mom did not forget that I was not her grandchild, though she has more than 100 grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And she looked at me and said, "What?" I said, "Well, you led my sister to the Lord. She led me to the Lord. Therefore, you're my mama, grandma." But I thank God that we were able to be in a family that knows the Lord. When I was 8 years old then, and I began to go to church and got baptized very quickly thereafter, when I was 13 years old at a camp, the week that Elvis Presley died, that was a long time ago, I see that young people came back in church, right? You got booted out of your teachers at Bojangles? You just brought everybody in here? Okay, good. Thank you, Emily, for coming back. I'm glad she didn't go to Bojangles. I already heard my dad. But the Lord began to impress upon me the need to preach the gospel. And I thought, being very timid, short, I've been now wearing glasses for 50 years, and let me just tell you that bullying is not a new event. But I was very shy, and I just thought, God, you certainly can't be asking me to preach. And I was reading in my Bible in Exodus chapter 4, in verse number 12. In that chapter, Moses begins to give some of the kind of the same excuses I was giving. And I read this verse, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." I'm glad that God's promises is true. Amen. And I said, "Okay, God, I'll do it." But I at least thought I was going to get to speak English. And then something happened later in life. After serving time in the Air Force, which my intent of going into the Air Force was, I had a sincere desire to become a chaplain. The reason is that I, along the way, had met many veterans that God was using. And it was my desire to reach more. And I believe that there's a certain aspect why that happens. One is that individuals were loyal. And they wanted to do something for their country. And therefore, to transition to wanting to do something for their God, I didn't think was a difficult transition. But I was in the Air Force for a short time when I realized that that was not going to be an opportunity that was really afforded because of the restrictions. It's only gotten worse. So I went off to Bible college after the Air Force in Oklahoma, and God was working in my heart. And I was studying just to be a pastor. I say just to be a pastor. And I want to be careful. I've expressed some certain accolades towards your pastor, and I don't want him to think, "Oh, and now all of a sudden I'm just a pastor." But that was my intent, to be a pastor. Until in Oklahoma City, week after week, I would knock on doors and see people that I could look in the eye with dark hair and dark eyes, and they would just look at me. And I would look at them. And we didn't have much of a conversation other than to just put something in their hand, and that was it. And God began to burden my heart. These people need to hear the message that you have. I began to pray and ask the Lord to help me. At this point in my life, I was not married, though I would have desired to be. But I determined long ago that I would marry who God brought into my life and not just go seeking someone. And so let me just pause for a minute and say to the young people who are here that do not have a spouse as of yet, wait for the Lord and you will be glad that you did. I will fast forward many years to give you this testimony. A young lady in our church, she determined that she also would like to marry. And she set her eyes on a young man, and in the world's eyes, he's a fine man, but he's not God's man. And as they begin to court without me knowing, I would have loved to help her. Suddenly they came to inform me that they were going to get married and that they would like me to officiate the ceremony, and I said, "No." That may seem harsh, but after talking with them for a while, I addressed the parents and we had a conversation, and I said, "What's going to happen is that this young man will soon have your daughter out of church. And that's not what God has called me to do. He wants her in church, and he wants to marry somebody that will keep her in church." Indeed, that happened, but it was worse. The family was offended at me, and now a brother and a wife and three children are out of church. She's out of church. Her new husband is out of church. Her mom, her dad no longer go to church. Her brother, who's a young man getting ready and is in university now, doesn't go to church. His sister doesn't go to church. Young person, don't be a part of that, because you oftentimes believe that the decision that you make about your life is only about you, and you are so very wrong. All that we do does matter. While I was in Bible college, I was praying that God would do His will. And as I was training to become a pastor, my focus in education was not missions. I knew something about missions, but not everything that I should have. But God revealed to me that the young lady that was on my bus route was a godly young lady, and she loved the Lord, and I should marry her. Of course, I didn't introduce myself in that regard. I said, God, if that's what you want for me to go to a mission field, because she had already surrendered to do so, I said, God, I don't want a young lady to call me to the mission field. So I waited. I waited and prayed for a year before I went to the aisle and made public my decision that God had called me to be a missionary. I didn't care about my relationship with an individual. My focus was my relationship with God. And what I did not know is that when the pastor, Dr. Vineyard, read my name and told my decision, that there was a young lady in the choir who began to sing in her heart. What was that song you were singing? I want to hear it again. She was singing Alleluia from the Messiah. She was glad for that, but God did that. And the Lord allowed us then to take a trip to Mexico in March of 1993. And I saw a multitude of people. And my eye affected my heart. And we knew that that was where God would want us to be. I would like to, I know that this service is very different, and that I would like to give you some Bible truth and share a testimony. When God opens doors, there is also adversity in those doors. And don't ever think that just because you're doing right, well, we're on the easy road now. No, you have just volunteered for a very bumpy road. Because previous to serving God, anyone in here with all of your heart, your life is easy. Your life is easy because the devil just leaves you to your own devices. And I believe if we were all honest with ourselves and recognizing the enemies that always present themselves, the world, the flesh, and the devil, most of us only deal with one. And his name is not Lucifer. His name is Mark. And his name is Mark for all of us. But when you volunteer to say, God, I will do what you want me to do, then the devil puts his target on you. And I need to stop you. When we did arrive in Mexico City and began a ministry that God had called us to, it was not without certain adversities. One of those adversities was the lack of fellowship with missionaries. One in particular with who we were working. God establishes us, for us, principles of relationship with God, with our family, and with a ministry. And to that missionary, not all of those things were important. But thank God he was on our side. That missionary is not there any longer. His life ended in ruin. I would not say his name. But for the grace of God, all of us would be in the same place. We were able to continue in that ministry for a time, and then we began to work and help in a couple of different ministries. If you'd allow me again to fast forward many years, God allowed us to help in the starting of a church and ultimately became the pastor of that church. And things went well for many years. And I honestly, when we left the church, I thought that this would be our joy. But something happened. You've heard the term wokeness? Of course you have. But we never dreamed that would happen in Mexico. And it does. Good people are being taken out by the ideas of the world, by the devil's plot, the devil's plan to destroy the work of God. Because of that aspect, at the end of last year, I was given an opportunity to go and preach the anniversary service of the man that God had put into my life that I was able to train and ordain. And for many years, through a building project, through the supporting of many missionaries, his children got a hold of wokeness. It's penetrated the church. I do not want to depress anyone, but we all need to remember that the devil still hates us. The devil hates you. The devil hates your church. And he will find his way any way he can to get in to destroy. Because that, after all, is what the thief does. But God put on my heart a message. We all need to finish well. As Brother Davidson has also allowed me the great privilege to be able to address you this morning and again in the preaching service. I'd just like to give a little introduction as to some of the things that I would like to address in the preaching service. It has to do with our testimony before God, our responsibility to finish well, to not quit, to not give up. Because as we do so, we have a promise that if we'll not grow weary in well-doing and we will not faint, then God will ultimately give a reward. Many years ago in that same church, a young man and his sister went to our youth camp, and God got a hold of their heart. They came back excited to do something for the Lord. Missionaries do more than just go tell people about Jesus. That's primary. But they're also pastors. Being a pastor can weary an individual. If your pastor was just able to simply preach, it would be fun. But he also pastors, and we pastor. After youth camp, we got everybody to the respective homes. We were excited. We were thrilled. Yes, indeed, we were tired because it was camp, after all. As soon as we got back to the house, I received a phone call. It was from a young man. His name is Eduardo. If you know Spanish, oftentimes we refer to them as Lalo, and that's the way we call them. Lalo called me and he said, "Pastor, can you come back to the house?" I said, "We'll be right there." He began to tell us, he and his sister Jessica, "My mom left while we were at camp. She left my dad. She's with someone else." That's heartbreaking. See, a young person just ready to give their life to God. By the way, his mom and dad were going to our church. But I thank God for Miguel, Lalo, Eduardo. You have to understand, in the Mexican culture, have you ever watched Speedy Gonzalez? You know who he is? See, that's all we know. I remember thinking when I saw when he went to a doctor in the cartoon, that it said Dr. Gutierrez Gonzalez Hernandez Fernando. And I ask people often, I introduce myself, me llamo Marcos, my name is Mark, and they begin to tell me their name. And when they're done, I say, just one will do. But that's a Latin culture. So Miguel, he's changed his name. He's no longer Eduardo. So because that was one on the list. Let me tell you that our most recent missionary to present his work in our church was Miguel. Amen. Because he went on. Not that he didn't suffer. His parents ultimately got a divorce. His siblings, their life, each of them is their own distinctive wreck. But God, nonetheless, allows us to just keep on going. In the same ministry, the man who I mentored, his name is Jose. Are you surprised? Jose, when God called him to preach, he had a family already. And I thought, this is great. You want to serve the Lord and we want to help you out. So what we're going to do, I can't tell you just quit your job. But what I can offer you is that if you will ask your boss if you could work a limited number of hours, we as a family want to help you. And so it was costly. Which, by the way, anyone who does anything for God, it will cost you. It will cost you. But it is also an investment. And I would like to address the church. Brother Davidson has not been here forever. 2008? 14, okay, 8 years ago. So one person who knows me, that's nice. That's nice. It's nice to be popular. I believe the church has been supporting us for 18 years, thereabouts. And we thank you. And even though that you didn't know me, you're making an investment. We do live in a very dangerous place. What, 2 days ago, when the ladies in the church, we got pictures of the authorities out in front of her house because there was a body out in front of her house. We live in an extremely dangerous place. Carrie and I were out soul winning on a specific Saturday, and the lady answered the door. She looked in at us with amazement, and she said, "What are you doing?" "Well, we're here to tell you about Jesus." And we began to witness to her for a little bit, and she was not really interested, but she stopped us, and she said, "No, but I mean, what are you doing? Like, you're crazy to be out here." And it wasn't just any lady. She was the wife of the police chief in the area. And she said, "I don't even leave my house." Well, we walk with the Lord. I praise the Lord for that. One Sunday morning, I sat down on a sidewalk in front of the church. A young man was telling me that he had come from another place to kill somebody. And he looked me in the eyes and he said, "I'm not afraid to kill people." Thought, maybe I should go back in the church. But I sat and began to share the gospel with him. Can't say that he got saved at that moment. He stood up and left, for which I was very grateful. But the open doors are always there. Our problem is that we're waiting for oftentimes a door that is easy and that opens much wider. I believe that we should all pray that God would help us to go through the doors that are open. They are everywhere. People need the Lord every day. It does not matter where we are. But the principle of ministry, of missions, is simply, I know that you are all well-versed in missions. But basically, what is the principle? To be a light and to be the salt that this world needs. But there's a problem in the ministry of missions, and that is our pride. I had some. I was just a little guy who did not begin to learn Spanish until after 30. Matter of fact, I was 33. I thank God I can speak the language. I still have this accent that was recognized by a smart elder. I mean, a deacon in a church in Washington State. Who the pastor thought it'd be a good idea. Let's let these missionaries answer your questions. So, Brother Mark, do you believe that that accent that you suffer from will affect your Spanish? Thank you. I said, absolutely not. I've been working on it. Buenos dias, y'all. But you know, there's a little bit of pride in all of us. I believe that was the problem of Jonah. Jonah was prideful. And he nearly drowned. But I believe that there was an apostle who was also a little bit prideful. Peter had the idea, hey, Jesus, if that's really you, let me come out there. And he did. Took his eyes off of Jesus. Worried about what was going on. And he nearly drowned. There's pride in all of us. Pride that says we're going to do something great and we're going to be renowned and everybody's going to know about our ministry and it's going to be great and glorious. But even though we suffer from the problem of pride, which, by the way, if you don't believe that you're prideful, that all of us have a little bit of suffering going on in our life from who we are and what we think we are. How many times have we gone soul winning? How many times have we had a gospel tract available to us, an opportunity to speak to someone, and we see an individual, perhaps is tattooed from ear to elbow, and we back off, or just this person, they just look so ungodly. And we don't even approach them. Who exactly are we trying to reach for Christ? Somebody that looks like you? Someone who dresses like you? Someone of the same character? That's not who God's looking to save. God's looking to save people who need their life to be transformed. And so we hold back. Maybe because you think, well, they're not really dignified enough to come to my church. Oh, Brother Mark, we would never think something like that. Well, I'll let God deal with you about that. I've gone through it. Something that changed my life. Claude Madel, who was a missionary for many years in British Columbia, Canada, we had an opportunity during what they called the Kelowna Games. It's basically where a lot of people come for different competitions to Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada. And you can imagine the influx of individuals doing every sort of unimaginable sin out in the street and publicly. But I remember walking across the street with Claude Madel. And clearly, the two prostitutes that crossed the street. Claude Madel turned back around and spoke to them and said, "Could I leave a gospel tract with you? I just want to tell you that God loves you. Would you do that?" Oh, no, you're a prostitute. You never know the opportunities God's going to give you. Like a certain lady in our church that came and was saved. That was her life. The night, and I will be discreet, she provided entertainment. God saved her. But how many of us in our pride would just let them walk on by? Jesus wouldn't do that, nor should we. But I will mention to you that there's also a pardon for the ministry of missions. And that is that God will forgive all of us. And God will not only forgive us, but God will begin to use us. I think for Bible students, if I were to ask you, what was one of the great revivals of the Old Testament? How could we possibly ignore Nineveh? You mean that prideful guy? You mean that guy that nearly drowned because he said no to God? But God forgave him. And not only did God just use him in some little insignificant manner, Nineveh was saved. What about Peter? If I ask you to name one of the great revivals of the New Testament, how could we possibly ignore the day of Pentecost? And Peter stood up to set everybody straight. And there were just a few thousand people that came to the Lord on that day. God wants to do something with all of us. I've often heard pastors, missionaries, evangelists, prior to a message, pray and say such prayer as this: God, help me just get out of the way and do what you want to do. Maybe you've heard a similar prayer and you think that's just some kind of ritual that the preacher's supposed to do before he... Has anybody ever heard a prayer like that? We all have. But until we have that attitude, God has no glory in what we're doing. So, thank God that there is a huge screen up there and it only has about 6 characters on it, 7 to be exact, and it says 10:38 a.m. I know my time limits. And when we will allow God to forgive us so that He can use us, then He is glorified. And I know that oftentimes we get excited about heaven. We should always be excited about heaven. We should always be excited about this thing called the rapture. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to it. And oftentimes we begin to reflect on who we get to see. We were in the States. I had a physical need. The missionaries, bless our hearts, we get tired of being the COVID chronicle. Every prayer letter begins, COVID, COVID. Let me just do this because it has to be a part of the program. COVID. Okay? And I'd like to be done. But I'm not. I have an effect because of it. I have the privilege now of being an asthmatic due to COVID. But I was here in the States receiving some treatment, having a breathing test, whatever they call those fancy words. I'm not a doctor. But while we were here, we got a phone call and said, Pastor, Armando is in the hospital. Christy's in the hospital. There are a couple of us seniors that we included in our Jóvenes de Corazón. The young people at heart. It's a nice way to say, you know, the other group, the old people. And this doesn't sound a lot better. Young at Heart, we're having our meeting on Tuesday morning. Instead of, old people, get here if you can on Tuesday. Carrie, you help me with the dates. Christy died on January 7th, and Armando died on January 15th. These people were a joy to be with. We never spent any amount of time with them without our conversation turning to God. And we sometimes think, boy, it's going to be exciting to see them, and to see my dad. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, but you know, Jesus is the reason. He's the reason that we should desire to go to heaven. And He's coming again. And if you believe that, as the Bible tells us that His return is imminent, we should be doing something for Christ. Amen. So that others would know. But we can't, because we are in the way. Because God does not want to use a filthy vessel. Heard a tremendous message last week. We sometimes think that we're so good. When God showed up to Isaiah, the only thing He could say about Himself is, I'm of unclean lips. Well, big deal. Everybody talks like that. Isaiah wasn't satisfied. And as soon as Isaiah was touched of the Lord, he said, also I heard of the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to just not know what missions is? Well, I don't want to go to the mission field. Time out. You're already there. I saw a meme that someone presented to me. Back of the church, they didn't have a clock. They had a sign and it said, you are now entering the mission field. The entire church was at the back door with looks of anguish looking at that, and no one wanted to leave. We're here for a reason. And be a part of God's drawing in. There's great opportunity for revival. There's great opportunity because you're not the only one to see that this world is a mess. You're not the only one to recognize that, wow, we can't afford food. Wow, we can't afford to drive to go buy the food. Wow, we don't have a job. Wow, my kids can't go to school. There's a mission field, and we're going to go there. Brother Davidson, thank you for the time. I hope that I finished when I was supposed to. Am I good? Okay, great. I got 8 seconds. Brother Davidson, I'm not going to pray. You come right up. Thank you for your attentiveness.